Welcome back. You are continuing to listen to Lamplight Conversations. I'm the Pastor James Mosier. I'm with Pastor Brad Rick, and we are just starting to look through the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 9 through 15, while keeping a close eye on James, chapter 1, verses 12 to 18. So now, we just got Jesus baptized. We know that he didn't need to be, but he was to submit to the Father's will. So let's talk just a little bit about the moment of the baptism here. So we've got Jesus going into the Jordan River, and then the heavens open, and the Spirit descends on him like a dove, which is kind of interesting where the dove, the Spirit, then almost immediately thereafter drives him out into the wilderness. I mean, it like casts him out into the wilderness. It's a violent chucking him out in the wilderness. So it's kind of weird. But then we hear the other part of the Trinity, the Father from heaven saying, "You are my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." So we're seeing some fulfillment of the scriptures here, but we're also seeing some submission. So where do we go with this, Pastor Rick?
Well, let's take the fulfillment part. Jesus was baptized that all righteousness would be fulfilled. And so as we see Jesus being baptized, he takes all sin upon himself, all of Satan and all of death. And it is the waters of his baptism that leads Jesus to the cross and empty tomb, where he fulfills the Holy Father's plan of salvation as he submits to it, and he willingly allows himself to be crucified, and then, trusting in the Father, being resurrected on the third day. And as Jesus was baptized, his baptism is our baptism, and ours is his. He took upon himself all of our sin. He took upon himself all of our guilt and iniquity, and all the sins committed against us, so that when we were baptized into his baptism, and now our sins are forgiven and forgotten no more because of him, his life, his death, his resurrection.
So it's interesting. We have submission of the Son to come into this world in the flesh. I mean, he's been constantly with the people as he promised.
Right.
From the beginning, from the fall in the Garden of Eden, the Son, the pre-incarnate Son, had been throughout the Old Testament visiting the people time and time and time and time again. But yet here, he submits to the humiliation of taking on our sinful human flesh in his birth, where at the birth we still already have to look, as you said, already down to the cross and the empty tomb. Here, or at the circumcision, he again submits to the Father's will, sheds blood, and we're already looking at the cross because you can't get to the cross without the birth, the circumcision, the baptism, all these things. None of them can happen, or none of those are possible to mean anything until we get to the cross and the empty tomb. And so, but that's all under the submission to the Father's will.
Right. And all this, too, it's almost like, as you look at the lessons being put together here, we're talking about being tested, and we're talking about temptation, and we're talking about one of the ways you get through that is having your faith and love and trust totally in God. And it's like almost in the gospel lesson here, it's kind of an unpacking of what that means to have faith and love and trust in Christ. It means that you believe that he was baptized for you, he suffered, he died, he rose again for you. It includes him being tempted in the wilderness but not falling into sin. And it includes being part of the kingdom of God, repenting and believing the gospel.
And as we think about that submission, it's just amazing because, you know, he didn't have to be tempted so dramatically. I mean, there's no real reason for this except to show us that this journey in our life, as you said, we're baptized in Christ's baptism. He's baptized in ours. And then this temptation where he's driven violently out into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit that proceeds from him and the Father.
Right.
I mean, so this is kind of strange to our ears, but he's driven out into the wilderness, and for 40 days he's tempted by Satan and lives with the wild animals, and then in the end the angels come and minister to him. And before I let you get to the numerology, which I know you're chomping at the bit to do, this is also a really beautiful reverse image of Garden of Eden, where you have God the Father and his crown of his creation, mankind, walking with the animals, all in peace. The animals are not wild. They're all in harmony. And the wilderness is not a wilderness. It is the Garden of Eden.
Right.
And here it's totally flipped, where it's God walking not with Adam and Eve, but it's Satan walking with the Son of Man, the Savior, and the animals are not tame, but they are wild, and we're not living in a garden, we're living in the wilderness for these 40 days as if, you know, and of course there's some 40 days of, or 40 years of the Israelites and all that stuff, but I know that you've got a really wonderful explanation of the 40 number. Can you kind of give us a peek into the mind of Pastor Brad Rick in numerology?
So we have the number 40, and number 40 is 4 times 10. In the scriptures, the number 4 is always the number of the world, the north, the south, the east, and the west. And the number of 10 is like the number of perfection or fulfillment, or you could even say Christ. And so again, we're brought back to the answer that we can tap into when we are put to the test and when we are tempted. The answer is Christ. One good thing to do if you are facing temptation, however, is to walk away from whatever you're being tempted by and stay away from it. Because if you keep going back to it, you will eventually give into it. But also, as we look at the lessons for today, one major theme is that God always provides. And he provides for us what we need. If it's being tested, he provides for us what we need to be able to get through the testing. If we are facing temptation, he provides for us what we need to get through the temptation. And the best thing that God provided is his Son, Christ, who is absolution, who is baptism, who is Holy Communion, and the Word of God spoken and heard.
So you're talking about temptation and walking away. And that's a challenge because, as we talked about in the James reading, you know, that we're lured and enticed by our own desires, and those desires conceive and give birth to sin. So as a human being, then, if we know that sins of the flesh are our temptation, then we should probably not work in a strip club or subscribe to certain magazines and go to certain places where we know that the flesh will be on full display to tempt us.
Right.
If we are an alcoholic, that we shouldn't work at a bar or a liquor store.
Right.
And spend time with people who are free with their drinking.
Right.
Because the temptations would be directly in front of our eyes.
Right.
But then there's the subtle ones, where the neighbor comes home with that brand new shiny big green or red, depending on your predilection, tractor, and you go, that's pretty nice. Mine's 14 years old. Maybe I should be looking at a brand new spanking tractor when, wow, that 14-year-old one has served me well for all 14 years and doesn't show any signs of wearing out.
And then you fall into the temptation of coveting.
Of coveting, yes.
That green tractor or red tractor would look a lot better in my farmyard or barn or whatever than theirs, right?
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, the subtle ones
are
the hard ones.
Yeah.
You know, and it's easier, I think, for Satan to slip it to us with those subtle ones sometimes, because we usually know the big, bad, nasty ones.
Yeah.
The bigger temptations are out there. You know, I got a great buddy from the Army that's down in Louisiana, and he fishes in Lake Pontchartrain in the Gulf a lot.
Oh.
And he'll call me once in a while and say, you know, Pastor, because he calls me his pastor now, but he will say, you know, there's all these beautiful girls on these bikinis, on these boats. You know, is it sinful for me to notice? And I'm like, well, buddy, what do? Do you drop anchor and try to lure them onto your boat? Well, no, man, I'm going fishing. I keep going. I'm like, well, there you go. You appreciated God's creation. You tipped your cap and you kept going. I said, good job. So, you know, these things are out there.
Sure.
And we kind of joke, but, you know, it's how do you handle them? And the thing is, when you do fall into them, and it can be as subtle as persistent worry, you know, that person that you love so much that's in the nursing home that's worrying about the next moment, the next hour, you know, that's sinful too.
Right.
And that temptation to worry and not trust in God above all things creeps in. And
right.
Satan's good about it because he's got him alone.
Right, right. And I think that's why Mark ends this prickly the way he does. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So that's why we come to the Lord's house on the Lord's Day, to connect with Christ, be fused with Christ, so he can give to us his awesome gifts and blessings through the gospel, the wonderful gift of forgiveness of sins, where we're washed and cleansed and reconciled and restored. And as we hear the gospel, to have our faith strengthened so that we can go back out into the fallen, broken world, in the wilderness of this life and world, and we can handle the testing and the temptations that come our way.
Because, you know, the Jesus doesn't say to him, the kingdom of God is fulfilled or revealed. He simply says it's at hand.
Right.
And, you know, that to us, you know, we always want, we always pray frequently, and we always want our Lord to return today. I mean, you know, come Lord Jesus, come now,
right,
be our prayer.
Right.
You know, that's kind of a lamentation too.
There you go. Yeah.
Wanting God to be God. But in this statement of Jesus, you know, the time is fulfilled. So his time to fulfill his messianic work has arrived. He's going to do it for the next 3 years in the scriptures. But the kingdom of God is at hand. It's at hand in him.
Right.
And repent and believe in the gospel. And that's where, you know, we talked about Abraham and James and the trust and the faith that they have. And this goes to us as well. We're, you know, where do we go? You know, what do we trust, fear, love, and trust in above all things? Is it ourselves or is it our God? And when we know that, hey, I'm being tempted and tempted beyond what I think I can handle, what do I do with it? Do I rely on myself or my spouse or something else? Or do I put it in the Lord's hands? And that's the hard one.
Right, right. And in prayer and lamentation, big part of two was putting it all in God's hands and then and putting faith and trust in him that he will also provide for you what you need, when you need it, and as you need it. And letting him come up with, like, if you're being tested or facing a really difficult situation, whatever answer he comes up with, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, and that's hard sometimes because the Lord's ways are not our ways, and they don't make a lot of sense to us sometimes as human beings. But in the end, his will and way always works out so much better than ours does. Well, you have been listening to Lamplight Conversations. We appreciate your listenership, and we invite you to continue as we travel through the scriptures together. And may God bless your day today and always.